The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Again, just wanting to say a really warm welcome to everybody. What a delight. What a delight it is to see you all and to be practicing together. It's what a bright light, might I say, and earlier, some of us were commenting how the year 2020 was quite a year. But the fact that, you know, happy hour, where, you know, Monday through Friday, where we can practice together and share our practice and discuss and get engaged with others in some way, maybe that's been one of the bright lights of 2020. I know it has been in my life. So, a deep bow of gratitude. And of course, as we approach the end of the year, I will say that there will be happy hour on Thursday, which is New Year's Eve. And if you're interested, the happy hour ends at 7, and then at 7:30, there will be a New Year's Eve gathering, and it's led by my good friend Tanya Weiser. And I don't know exactly what Tanya has planned, but I do know when this was in person last year, I just kept on hearing about how fantastic it was. So I'll just put that in there if you want to check out and see what's happening on New Year's Eve. I think it starts at 7:30, and I think it ends right after midnight. And so you can look at the calendar for more information. So I just wanted to put that out there. So as I was going to say, as we approach the end of the year, it's not uncommon for many of us to set goals, to set aspirations, to have the dreaded New Year resolutions. And I'm saying dreaded, but it's funny how I even though I'm not necessarily a big fan of like, okay, I'm going to have to make these big giant changes, I do find myself thinking like, okay, as soon as like all the holidays are over and things are settled down, then I will do X, Y, and Z. But sometimes, not all the time, sometimes that's what's underneath, what's fueling our resolutions is a subtle and maybe a little bit of disrespect for ourselves, for the way that we are. Maybe even a flavor of self-loathing or a belief that we have to be perfect in some kind of way. So this idea of having to be perfect is not so uncommon. Kind of includes this striving for flawlessness or setting high standards for ourselves, which often leak out of us, and setting high standards for others, or allowing our inner critic to be really loud and for us to believe this inner critic, all the things that inner critic likes to say. And maybe you have that with when we have this emphasis on perfectionism, then we're really concerned about others' evaluations of us. And so when we have this idea of perfectionism, or, you know, that we have to be different, we have to be better somehow, then we often end up fragmenting our lives. Not intentionally, but that's a natural consequence or what happens. We often find ourselves saying, well, this is acceptable and this is not acceptable. This is good, this is bad, this is perfect, this is flawed. We find ourselves making these types of distinctions. And then having this fragmentation or even making these distinctions is a certain type of agitation. It's subtle, but it's an agitation there, trying to hold on to whatever we think is perfect or good, and trying to push away or disown or excise or something, whatever we imagine is not perfect. So this practice, this meditation practice, loving kindness practice, or mindfulness practice, is a way in which we can maybe put an end to this fragmentation, put an end to this idea that things have to be perfect. And instead of including wholeness, completeness, and so rather than trying to disown parts of our experience, or we include them and we invite them in. And we allow this practice to enter all compartments of our life, and allows us to feel all our feelings and to live completely in our bodies, or in our bodies completely. And in this way, it could be more and more freedom and more ease, more and more peace, tranquility, and more of a sense of being at home. I think that's so much of what we're looking for, right? Of wanting to feel like, ah, yes, this is home. And that can come with a sense of wholeness, which can come with both loving kindness practice and mindfulness practice. With this recognition that the body is not perfect, the mind is not perfect, our relationships are not perfect, our behaviors are not perfect, yet we can be without anxiety, we can be without restlessness around this non-perfection. And we can get to this idea of, I'm not okay, you're not okay, and that's okay. So with that as an introduction, let's do some meditation practice. So taking a comfortable upright posture. A posture that reflects some dignity, some respect, some okayness, as well as some comfort and some ease. Sometimes this takes a little practice of finding that balance. And then we can begin with three long, slow, deep breaths. And noticing that with the exhale, there might be a little bit more relaxation, a little bit more letting go that's possible. And then allowing the breath to return to normal. You can just do a very gentle body scan, allowing the attention to perhaps create the conditions for some ease, some softening, some relaxation. You can start with the face. Sometimes we unknowingly hold tension in the eyes and the jaw. Back in the neck or the neck. Sometimes it's helpful to move body parts, and maybe that also creates the conditions where there might be some letting go of tension or tightness. The shoulders. The arms and hands. Noticing what the hands are touching. Whether it's warm or cool, rough or soft. Bringing the attention to the upper back. Maybe where it's contacting a chair, wherever you're sitting. Lower back. And the chest. Maybe there might be just a tiny bit, a little bit more opening in the chest area by moving the shoulders back. And the belly. And feeling the pressure of the chair or cushion against the body. Feeling connected, grounded. In the right leg and the right foot, and the left leg, and the left foot. And then bringing our attention to the sensations of breathing. The movement of the chest or the body, the belly. When the mind wanders, of course it wanders, just very simply, gently begin again. Feeling the rise and fall of the chest or the belly with the breath. And recognizing that you can always come back to this practice, mindfulness of the body, or mindfulness of breathing. If we ever feel overwhelmed or lost. And then to begin loving kindness practice. I like to begin where it's easy. To kind of use as kindling to light the flame, if you will. The warmth of loving kindness. So bring to mind a lovable being. Someone with whom you have an uncomplicated relationship. Someone that you can't help but smile when you bring them to mind. And then see if you can connect with this lovable being, either by visualizing some people like to really try to get the images clear, whether the lovable being is somebody that you know, or maybe even an imaginary kitten, puppies, or babies. Maybe somebody that you don't know, but someone you don't have a relationship with, but who inspires you, and perhaps they've touched your life. So to connect visually, some people find it helpful to connect more with the felt sense. For everybody, that's a little bit different. Maybe like radiating warmth and kindness out of the heart center. And some people like to connect using phrases. Part of the fun of practice, part of the depth of practice, is to play and experiment and see what supports your cultivation of loving kindness. Phrases we might use include, may you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. connecting with the lovable being. Saying the phrases and or radiating love and kindness and or visualizing. I offer this in a hope to keep it simple in a way that's supportive. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. So now, having lit the kindling, so to speak, can we allow the warmth, the fire, the flame of loving kindness to grow and to extend it to ourselves so that we don't feel like we have to fragment parts of ourselves, but instead allow a certain wholeness. In the same way to be an image of yourself to mind, some people like to use an image of from their childhood. And maybe feel into the bodily experience right now. Is there any sense of spaciousness, warmth, or ease, or well-being? And if so, can you allow that to get as big as it would like? Or just allowing, not forcing or making, just allowing. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. All aspects of ourselves, even those little hidden corners that we're secretly hoping if we ignore them, they'll go away. We're inviting all of them in. Extending warmth, kindness, care, and respect to all aspects or fragments we might discover. If it's helpful, you might imagine different fragments coming together. Maybe like how a magnet can pull certain metals towards itself. Maybe the warmth of loving kindness pulls in the fragments and they become part of the whole. Whole as in complete. Whether there's a feeling of fragmentation or not, may I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Extending warmth and care, or maybe just experiencing warmth and care. Sometimes this fragmentation shows up in the way we move in the world or view others. It can be helpful to do loving kindness practice for people we don't know, people we don't have relationships with. Can be helpful to do this for a specific person. Might be somebody on this Zoom call. Might be somebody you see in the neighborhood but don't know. Maybe they're walking their dog. Just walking. Without knowing anything about this person, can you extend some warm-heartedness? Can you visualize them? Maybe you need to prime the pump a little bit with some phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then to end this meditation, feel your feet on the ground. Feel the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes. So this idea of sometimes when we, this idea that things have to be perfect, maybe we don't use those words, but things need to be different than how we are. And we might unknowingly, maybe not even recognizing, we might be fragmenting our experience, ourselves, people, putting them in these different camps, which is not the way to more freedom and peace and ease. So it can be helpful to talk about some of these ideas and how loving kindness is a way in which we can bring together some glue, maybe, or to help diminish the fragmentation. So I'd like to put you into some breakout rooms with three or four people, and you'll have an opportunity to talk about this idea, this experience of maybe perfectionism leads to fragmentation, which leads to agitation, and then it may be that loving kindness and or mindfulness can help alleviate that. So we'll meet for about 13 minutes, and you can have it maybe that go by the month that your birth date is in. So the person whose birthday is closer to January can go first. And of course, the person whose birthday is near December would go last. And you don't have to say everything that about this topic, but instead just to say one or two ideas or thoughts. You don't have to tell elaborate stories, and then go to the next person, and then go to the next person. So instead of long monologues, it's more of a sharing and a creating things together. So we're not giving advice to each other. We're not telling people what to do. Of course not. It's more an opportunity to maybe learn something about ourselves. Maybe we hear ourselves saying something that we that is surprising, or maybe we're influenced by what we've heard it's something somebody else say, and we learn something new. Okay, so we'll meet for about 13 minutes and have fun. Okay, so we just have a few minutes here. Would somebody like to make a comment or share something or perhaps ask a question?
I could share a joke, or it's not really a joke, actually, that I learned many years ago. I went to a bank that had an old-fashioned teller's cages, and one of the tellers had a sign behind her that said, "One of the great things about being imperfect is the joy it brings to others."
Okay, the joy it brings to others. Okay. We'll keep that in mind. Thank you, Claire. And Trevor, I see you have your hand up.
Yeah, what our group was talking about, and I really appreciate it, was kind of the idea of spiritual bypassing. And it's a word I've been very familiar with through my practice, but I mentioned it in relationship to whenever I experience depressions or anxiety, especially depressive, really grounded states, grounding states of adverse mind, my immediate thing that I want to do is go and meditate, go and sit. And people would point out to me that you can't always just go and hide away and do that all the time. You have to go about your life and do things and get things done and learn how to be with those feelings without them getting in the way. But I've never been the person that could go about my life without those feelings getting in the way. And I guess I would say, in a sense, going to the cushion becomes a spiritual bypass, and that I'll just be with the breath. I'll just be with the breath, and just things will settle. But it all comes right back as soon as you go about the day, and developing that mindfulness is difficult. So I don't know. Just kind of going on. If you have anything to say.
Yeah. So Trevor, if you, when you go and sit, when there's difficult, emotions, and then you go sit, and then you said that when you come, you stop meditating, that it all comes back. Is it come back in the same way, or is it a little bit different, or?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think it is different. There is a different quality to it. There is some kindness there. Until the mindfulness, you know, it's like until it starts to bleed away. You know, you fill up your bucket, but there's a hole in the bucket and the water starts to leak out. And then you have to go back and do it again because the busyness of life takes you away. So I guess it's that balancing act of just learning to bring mindfulness throughout your day as well.
It's the balancing act of bringing mindfulness throughout the day, as well as the practice as best we can, right? And this is certainly a practice of a little bit of what I was pointing to today, of saying like this too, this difficult emotion, these difficult thoughts, whatever it might be. Less the idea that we have to push them away, but can we hold them with care and with warmth? And this is a practice, you know, it's easy for me to say this, you know, just hold these with warmth, but that's something to maybe consider. And often how it starts is we just maybe bring some warm-heartedness towards, I'm just using this generic word, difficult emotion, whatever it might be. And then we might feel that we can hold it, and then we just slide into overwhelm. And then that's the time it's like, okay, so I could maybe hold it for 1 second, 3 seconds, whatever it might be, and to be okay with that. Like, okay, that's how it was today. And there might be other times when you're well rested, have good, you're not hungry, and maybe you've just came back from a nice walk in nature or something like that, when the capacity is greater. And then maybe when those emotions arise, then it's easier to hold them. You can hold them a little bit longer, but both of those things. One is to bring mindfulness to our activities, exactly as you said, and also to soften this idea that certain emotions or things that we don't want to be with or pay attention to. And I don't know if that's helpful.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I appreciate you taking that time. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Trevor. So, it's 7:03. Abraham, I see that you have your hand up. Do you have something that we can talk about quickly?
If it's weird over time, that's fine. I really appreciated the last question. I can get into some very blissful states with loving kindness and at the same time hold the fact that there's other difficulties in my life. It's possible to be in both. It's nice to exercise that muscle of going back towards joy and appreciation. And I know things are still tough. I know I'm still getting angry sometimes when I wish I wouldn't, but I know I have a refuge to go to. And the more I go there, the stronger I become.
Yes, thank you so much for saying that, Abraham. It's a resource, and we shouldn't underestimate how powerful it is to have this resource where we can get nourished, supported, filled up in some kind of way. Yeah. And it's a wholesome resource. It's not something that's we're gonna kick ourselves the next day for doing or something.
It's not a drug.
It's not a drug. It's not a drug. Okay, so I want to respect everybody's time here. So what a delight it is to practice together. Really appreciate it. And if you like, we can unmute and could say goodbye. And perhaps I'll see some of you on New Year's Eve.
Barbara, I love your new do.
It's so cute. Thanks.